Želim da se pomoli na početku.
Dobri sveti oče nebeski, hvala ti što i u ovom vremenu posle ručka možemo da proučavamo tvoju reč na ovaj način, da se učimo u svetinji. Molimo te da nam i pomogneš i staviš u srca i umove duhom svojim svetim važnost svega ovoga što govorimo, važnost da budemo sa tobom, da budemo tvoje dece. Blagoslovi nas i kao buduće pripovednike tvoje reči, da možemo na ispravan način učiti o ovome i takođe i ljude kojim budemo govorili oduševljavati onim što svetinja predstavlja. Hvala ti na svemu u Hristovo ime, vodi nas i blagoslovi sve u Hristovo ime.
We have finished looking at the sanctuary in the book of Hebrews.
Dakle, završili smo sa svetinjom u Jevrejima poslanici.
Not that we've said everything that should be said about the book of Hebrews, but that's all the time we have in this
course. Ne da smo sve rekli, nego to je vreme koje smo imali da proučimo.
Let me just review the four steps that we see in the book of Hebrews.
Samo da damo pregled četiri koraka u Jevrejima poslanici, četiri stvari koje smo.
And let's follow through the life of Christ in these four steps.
Dakle, krenemo kroz život Hristov. Četiri koraka.
First, the sacrifice.
Prvo, žrtva.
When were the sacrifices of the Old Testament fulfilled?
Kad su se ispunile žrtve Starog Zaveta?
All of them, right?
Sve, dakle, na krstu.
So Christ's sacrifice is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament sacrifices.
Tako da je Hristova žrtva ispunjenje svih starozavetnih žrtava.
Then he goes back to heaven.
A onda on se vazna na nebo.
And his entry into heaven that's described several times in the book of Hebrews.
Dakle, on se vazna na nebo i onda postoji vreme koje
is the fulfillment of what part of the Old Testament service?
Koji deo starozavetne službe ispunjenje toga?
The inauguration, exactly. Yes.
Da.
Not Day of Atonement, but he goes back to inaugurate the sanctuary.
Nego je se vazneo da inauguriše ove strane reč. Možda možemo naći neku drugu, razmišljajte. Pa nije to to. We are thinking about other Serbian word. Inauguration, inauguracija, we have the same.
Oh, okay. This is the beginning of the sanctuary services.
To je dakle početak, uspostavljanje možda.
Enkainizo.
Enkainizo.
Okay. If we can't agree on the Serbian or the English term, we use the Greek term. Okay.
Ako se ne slažemo engleski i srpski, imamo grčki. Enkainizo.
And when the New Testament author of Hebrews describes the work of Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary in his day.
Dakle, on opisuje tu službu u svoje vreme, autor je vremena poslanica.
What is the work that he's doing?
Koje delo on čini? Kakav je taj opis? Intercession.
Yes, which is the daily, the holy place ministry.
To je dnevna žrtva.
The tamid ministry.
Tamid.
We will come to that when we get to the book of Daniel.
Doćemo kad dođemo u Danila.
And then the judgment, according to the book of Hebrews, is when?
Sud je prema vremenu poslanici kada?
Still future from the perspective of the first century. Now when we look at a theology of judgment in the whole New Testament,
kad pogledamo teologiju suda u celom
starom
zavetu,
we'll see that there is a sense in which the whole world was judged at Calvary.
Postoji sudi na Golgoti, za ceo svet je bio.
And again, we are judged every time we hear the gospel. We are judged whether we accept or reject the gospel.
Osuditi presuda je uključena i u slušanju evanđelja isto.
But the kind of judgment that Hebrews talks about is still future.
Ali Jevrejima poslanica govori o jednom sudu koji je još uvijek stvar budućnosti.
And this is the investigative and the executive judgment at the end.
A to je istražni i izvršni sud na kraju vremena.
So that's the flow of the basic contours of the book of Hebrews.
To je taj tok osnovnih kontura, dakle učenja u Jevrejima poslanici.
Sacrifice at the cross.
Žrtva na krstu.
Entry in to start up the ministry, inauguration.
Dakle, vaznesenje i otpočeta služba na nebu.
Holy place, intercessory ministry in the first
century. Posrednička služba u prvom odeljenju svetinje.
Future judgment.
I konačno sud budući.
Investigative executive.
Istražni izvršni sud.
All right. Now I would like to go back to the Pentateuch.
Sada se vraćam nazad u Peto knjižje. Can I have one question just sure, on the Hebrews ahead. Before we...
Yes.
Želao sam da pitam ono vezano za Jevrejima 9.23, obično se koristi za Jom Kipur, ali čini mi se da to sad ovdje u kontekstu kako je on iznao ne stoji. In Hebrews 9.23,
okay.
That text definitely doesn't speak about Yom Kipur then?
All right, that's a good question. I intended to cover that and I didn't. Thank you for asking
okay.
that. Yes.
Dakle, on je nameravao da ovo objasni, ali nismo stigli, pa evo sad ćemo. Dakle, 9.23 Jevrejima. Pitam da li je ovo dan pomirenja, jer piše o čišćenju. Piše o čišćenju.
I've written several pages on this in this article for the Andrews University Seminary Studies, which I can give you later, that goes into more detail.
Dakle, postoji detaljnija studija u AUSS, imamo u biblioteci, valjda, Andrews University Seminary.
Do you get AUSS here?
Some yeah. of them.
So, it da. Should be in the library, probably. The more recent ones are in the library.
Dakle, so. Posljednje treba da dobijamo. Mi smo naručili te.
Tako and I've written two articles that deal with this problem. But
dva članka su u tom problemu. O tom
what I find happening at the end of Hebrews 9 is this.
Ono što se dešava na kraju Jevrejima 9. glave,
in verses 16 to 22.
16 do 22 stihovi, dakle.
We are clearly dealing with enkainizo, with the ratification
bio,
of the sanctuary.
To je bio enkainizo, znači ratifikacija, otvaranje svetinje, početak službe.
And part of the process for ratifying,
a deo procesa tog, te potvrde,
in the Septuagint usage anyway,
is
the word cleanse, katharizo.
Je i reč katarizo, grčka u Septuaginti, koja znači očistiti, deo tog inauguracijskog.
The sanctuary is katharizod when it's inaugurated.
Svetinja je bila čišćena, dakle, katarizo, kada je inaugurisana isto.
But the sanctuary is also cleansed at Day of Atonement.
Ali svetinja je čišćena i na dan pomirenja.
And so I find verses 16 to 22.
Tako da pronalazim da su stihovi od 16 do 22
is inauguration.
Inauguracija.
Then verse 23.
A 23. stih
has this word ananke.
Ima reč ananke na početku.
Now in the Serbian translation, does it say it was necessary or it is necessary or it will be necessary?
It was necessary.
Okay, it was necessary. So it like it's pointing back to the past, right?
Dakle, kod nas je tako je trebalo u prošlost, dakle, upućuje na prošlost. Tako
in other words, this is pointing back to the inauguration.
Tako da se to odnosi onda na inauguraciju, na ono što je prošlo.
But now you Greek scholars.
Ali sad vi grčki skolari.
Is this pointing to past, present or future?
Da li je ovo prošlo, sadašnjost ili budućnost? Ananke.
Is this a verb or a noun?
Da li je to uopšte imenica ili glagol? Noun, they say.
It's a noun.
Yeah.
Nouns don't point to future, present or past.
Imenice ne upućuju na prošlo, sadašnjost i budućnost.
There's no verb here in this sentence.
Nema tu glagola, kao i kod nas.
It doesn't say it was necessary.
Kod nas kaže tako je trebalo, trebalo
or
je glagol.
It will be necessary.
Dakle, ne kaže bit će neophodno ili je bilo. Nema glagola biti.
Necessity.
Kaže neophodnost samo u imeničkoj formi, neophodnost.
No expression of time.
Nema kad, nema vremena.
I believe that's significant.
Ja verujem da je to važno.
This is a transition verse.
To je jedan stih koji je prelazni, tranzicioni.
It applies to the inauguration here.
Odnosi se na inauguraciju.
And it's true, necessity.
Tačno, to je neophodnost.
That the earthly needed to be cleansed.
Zemaljska je trebala da se očisti.
And so the heavenly is cleansed in the inauguration.
Tako i nebeska u inauguraciji očišćena, dakle na početku.
But notice what happens starting in verse 24 down to 28.
Ali onda od 24. do 28. stiha.
We now start moving to Day of Atonement language.
Krećemo se ka jeziku dana pomirenja sada.
We have the description in the future of Christ has not entered the holy place. Yeah, with that, okay, you know, should offer often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another, verse 25.
25. Govori o godišnjem ulasku sveštenika u, dakle, svake godine u svetinju.
Now we're in language of Day of Atonement.
To je jezik dana pomirenja.
And here is where we find verses 26, 27, 28.
A onda od 26. do 28.
Pointing forward to the future judgment that is going to come.
Ukazuje na budući sud koji će doći.
And does this verse 23 apply also to Day of Atonement?
Tako da se 23. stih odnosi i na dan pomirenja, da, ovaj drugi deo.
Yes, there was a cleansing at the Day of Atonement.
Bilo je čišćenje i na dan pomirenja, da.
And so I see the author here very skillfully, very artfully transitioning from inauguration to Day of Atonement in this.
Tako da ovde autor na jedan veš način od inauguracije prelazi na dan pomirenja.
This is the way I see that the
That's very interesting.
Here, so. It's the same transition we find in chapter 10.
To je isti prelaz kao u 10. glavi.
In verses 19 and 20,
19. i 20. stih.
We saw this as enkainizo here.
Videli smo da je to enkainizo, posvećenje.
In verse 25, so much the more as you see the day approaching, Yom Kippur.
A u 25. sud se spominje, Yom Kippur.
And there, then it mentions the future judgment.
To je onda budući sud.
So it seems to be a pattern in his writing. Of
izgleda je to model u njegovim spisima.
Moving from the start of the sanctuary services then to the end of the
počinje
sanctuary services.
Početak i onda kraj svešteničkog
služenja. That's the way I see it right now.
That's very interesting.
So our pioneers were not wrong in seeing this as applying to Day of Atonement.
Dakle, pioniri, pošto primenjuju to na dan pomirenja, nisu bili onda u krivu, nisu pogrešili.
But we need to also see that it has an application back to the previous verses too.
Ali ima primjenu i na prethodnje.
Okay, any other questions on Hebrews? I don't want to leave if there's something that's still desperately frustrating you in your mind here. So.
Ima li još nešto što vas očajnički frustrira iz Jevrejima, tako da moramo da rešimo? This cleansing, katarizo, that you mentioned, is that mentioned in Exodus?
In the Septuagint,
u Septuaginti
katharizo is used both for inauguration and for Leviticus 16.
Koristi se izraz i za inauguraciju i za treću Mojsijevu 16. Dan pomirenja.
It's mentioned for the dedication time. I forget the exact text, but it uses katharizo for the dedication.
Ne seća se tačno teksta, ali koristi se za inauguraciju, da, katarizo.
Mislim, u zemaljskoj, kakva svrha čišćenja svetinje koja nije upotrebljena.
What is the meaning then on katarizo in heaven, which is not used? Oh, dakle, na zem...
This...
Why cleansing of the sanctuary was not used before in the earthly sanctuary?
It was. Leviticus 16, we have cleansing.
Dakle, u trećem Mojsijevu 16 imamo čišćenje, but he asked for the inauguration cleansing.
Yes, it is used. It is used in and there's not just it's not just Exodus 40 that talks about inauguration.
Ne govori samo druga Mojsijeva 40. inauguracija.
There are about 10 chapters in Numbers 9, Leviticus 7, Numbers 7, Exodus 30, Exodus 40. Many chapters that talk about this whole complex of inauguration of the beginning of the starting of the beginning of the earthly sanctuary.
Govore o posvećenju svetinje i početku, nije samo Exodus. Ne znam.
And I can find the exact.
Zašto se čisti svetinja kada je na početku svoje službe?
Why was it needed, you know, for the sanctuary to be cleansed before.
Oh, yes, because cleansing is not just from sin.
Tako da čišćenje nije od greha bilo.
As something is secular and it needs to be sanctified, it needs to be made holy.
Oh, yeah.
It is the idea of purifying it.
Nešto nije sveto, pa sad se posvećuje. Znači, to je isto.
And so here are these things that people have made, and then God needs to specially set them apart for his sanctuary.
Dakle, ljudi su to napravili, ali onda treba da se posveti to za specifičnu službu.
So the word katharizo can imply that, can imply purifying, to make it appropriate for a holy use.
Katarizo znači se može koristiti za posvećenje, za svetu upotrebu.
Yeah.
So we katarizo today our temples, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Kažem i danas onda znači crkve čistimo kad ih posvećujemo.
So you can't tell by the word katharizo whether you're talking about inauguration or Day of Atonement. Katharizo is not the key term to show
to
us whether it's...
To nije ključni termin katarizo.
But enkainizo is only for inauguration.
A enkainizo je samo za inauguraciju. Znači, to je ključni termin.
Ideja početka, u stvari, počinjena.
That's the idea of the beginning of something.
The beginning of something, that's right. The dedication of something.
Commencement.
Commencement, exactly. Yes. And it has this word enkain, kainos, to renew, to start over again, to start again.
Yes, kainos znači otpočeti, obnoviti nešto na novo.
Okay, good question.
Dobro pitanje.
And there are many other good questions, I'm sure. But,
sigurno ima i drugi dobri.
We have done this, you might think we've done this a little bit backwards, to go to Hebrews
da
before we go to Pentateuch.
Idemo u natraške, umjesto da smo prvo radili petoknjižni, mi sad idemo u petoknjižni.
And sometimes when I teach this class, we start with the Pentateuch and then we look at the typological materials.
Nekad kad proučavamo, mi prvo radimo petoknjiže, pa onda tipologiju da u dalje materijale.
It depends upon our schedule, because this class is a team taught class at Andrews.
U stvari to zavisi od našeg plana, jer na Andrewsu ovaj predmet predaje više profesora.
And I coordinate it one semester and Roy Gain coordinates it another semester.
Ja jedan semestar, Roy Gain drugi.
And we invite each other to come and we give lectures together. So
jedan drugog pozivamo onda da
Moskala comes in and gives one section on Daniel.
Moskala dođe pa ima ovaj deo o Danilu.
We want to give an impression to the students that it's not just one person that believes this doctrine.
Mi želimo da studenti shvate da nije to jedna osoba koja veruje tu doktrinu.
No, here are our whole department and the New Testament.
Ceo
and
departman
Old Testament, and
starog zaveta.
I novi zavet.
I sistematski kanale, right?
Yes.
I sistematski kanale, sećate se da spominju. Znači, svi.
Because Desmond Ford actually claims that no real scholars even ever believe this doctrine anymore.
Ford u stvari kaže, nema pravih teologa koji više veruju u to.
So we want to show him, hey, our seminary believes this. Not just him, but I want to show our students.
Mi želimo da pokažemo da mi to verujemo, ne samo mi, nego i studenti.
So I usually have the whole section on typology, which includes the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we put those together.
Ceo predmet je i vezan za tipologiju, Stari i Novi Zavet.
And Dr. Gain usually lectures the part that I'm going to give now.
A obično Gain ima deo ovaj sad koji ćete čuti.
I will not do as good a job as he could do.
So. Ne mogu ja tako dobro kao on.
Because he has spent about 15 years of his life studying the book of Leviticus.
15 godina on proučavao treću Mojsijevu.
And he studied under the most famous scholar of Leviticus in the world.
A on je studirao to kod najpoznatijeg teologa za treću Mojsijevu na svetu.
His name is Jacob Milgram.
A njegovo ime je Jakov Milgram.
He has written about 3000 page commentary on the book of Leviticus.
3000 stranica komentara je napisao za treću Mojsijevu.
And Dr. Gain sat with him in class for about 5 or 6 years as they worked verse by verse through the book of Leviticus.
Oko 5-6 godine on sedeo na tom predmetu i radio stih po stih treću Mojsijevu.
I'll tell you more of Dr. Gain's story in just a few minutes.
Za koji minut čućete više o njegove priči.
But let's just look at some of the highlights of the sanctuary in the Pentateuch. Some of the issues that have been debated.
Hajde nešto da čujemo iz pete Mojsijeve o nekim problemima koji su diskutabilni.
First, just a trivia question, Bible trivia.
Prvo jedno trivialno pitanje.
Where is the very first use of the term sanctuary in the Bible?
Gde se prvi put spominje reč svetinja?
Not the idea of a sanctuary.
Ne ideja o svetinji.
That's Garden of Eden.
To je Edemski vrt.
But the first use of the word
izraz,
sanctuary.
Reč svetinja.
Is it in Genesis?
Jel u prvoj Mojsijevoj?
No.
Ne.
Exodus?
Druga Mojsijeva? 25:8.
All right, that is the that's not the first one.
To nije prvi.
There's one before that.
Pre, jedan pre 25:8.
19. It's in the Song of Moses. What chapter is that?
15. Glava, dakle,
Exodus 15.
What chapter they learn with Muscala? Every chapter.
Yes.
Which
yes.
Is in
good.
Every chapter.
Good. Good. Okay. 15 and verse
15.
17.
17.
Could someone read that for us, verse 17?
Neko da pročita? Možeš.
Okay, this is predicting God's bringing God, his people into the Holy Land, into the Promised Land where his sanctuary will be built.
Dakle, ovo je obećanje u ulasku u obećanu zemlju gde će biti sagrađena svetinja.
In your version, does it already have it in the past tense, which your hands have established?
Yes. Naš prevod je u prošlosti.
Why would it be in the past tense if the sanctuary wasn't built yet?
Ne. Za svetinju, za izgradnju svetinje. Zašto u prošlosti ako nije sagrađena još svetinja?
He will bring them in, but his hands have already established the sanctuary.
Nije ih još uveo, to je dobro što je rekao on za budućnost. Odvešćeš ih, a ipak i u prošlosti spremio si stan, jel?
We call this in Hebrew the prophetic perfect.
To je proročki perfekt.
It is already as good as done.
To je tako kao da je već urađeno, kao da je već izvršeno.
In God's mind, it's already done.
Božjem umu to je gotovo.
It is that certain that it's going to happen.
Tako je to sigurno da će se dogoditi.
And this is the way many of the prophets describe the future.
Tako mnogi proroci govore o budućnosti.
In the past tense.
U prošlosti govore.
Prophetic perfect.
Proročki perfekt.
Then the next major place is Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9.
Sledeće glavno mesto je 2. Mojsije 25:8.
And here we have already studied the typological basis for the sanctuary.
A tu smo već proučavali to. Znači tipološki.
So now let's look at a few selected issues in the sanctuary in the Pentateuch.
Još nekoliko odlomaka iz Petoknjiže o svetinji.
What was the most basic sacrifice?
Koja je najtemeljnija žrtva?
The most basic one.
Najtemeljnija, najosnovnija. 29:28.
All right, Exodus 29.
Dobro je, dakle, 2. Mojsijeva 29.
Verse 38.
38.
And what is this one called?
Kako je nazvana?
Yes. Ola Tamid.
Dakle, Ola Tamid. 38.
The whole burnt, the continual burnt offering.
Dakle, doslovni prevod je bez prekida, neprekidno, žrtva paljenica.
And this consisted of these two lambs.
Dva jagnjeta su se prinosila.
Day by day, it says.
Svaki dan.
Continually.
Bez prekida, kod nas kaže.
Now, sometimes the word tamid can mean every day.
Ponekad tamid znači svaki dan.
And sometimes it means all the time, continuously.
A ponekad znači i non-stop, dakle, stalno, bez prekida.
Non-stop, that's great, okay. Here it means non-stop.
Ovde znači non-stop, dakle.
Okay. We find this from Leviticus chapter 6, verses
dakle,
9 to 13.
To nalazimo i u 3. Mojsijevoj 6, which verses?
9 to 13.
9 do 13.
Here is another description of these of the whole burnt offering.
6. glava 9 do 13.
Verse 9, it says, the last part there, the burnt offering shall be upon the hearth, upon the altar, all night until morning.
Drugi deo, žrtva paljenica neka stoji na ognjenom oltaru celu noć, do jutra.
Can you visualize it?
Da li možete to sebi slikovito da predstavite?
The whole burnt offering is always there on the altar.
Cela žrtva paljenica uvek na oltaru.
There is not a moment during the night and during the day when this offering is not ascending on behalf of Israel.
Nema trenutka u toku noći ili u toku dana kad se ne uzdiže miris te žrtve za Izrael.
The reason I like to study the typology first is because then we can ask the question, what does this typologically symbolize?
Šta ovo tipološki predstavlja pitanje? Zato ja volim tipologiju.
What does it point forward to?
Na što ukazuje?
What does it show us about the plan of salvation?
Šta pokazuje o planu spasenja? Christ's sacrifice that is without interruption and for all people.
All right, for all people without interruption? Yes? What else? Why is it without interruption? Why do we need it to be without interruption?
Zašto mora da bude bez prekida? That we can always come to the throne of grace.
Okay, it's always available then.
Intercession without and independent of human efforts.
Aha, okay. We are always in constant need of the covering blood of Jesus, are we not?
Mi smo u stalnoj potrebi da nas Hristova krv pokrije.
Not for one moment can I stand before heaven without the covering merits of Jesus.
Ni jedan momenat ne mogu da stojim pred nebom bez zasluga Hrista.
I like how Ellen White puts it in Patriarchs and Prophets.
Patrijarsima i prorocima volim kako Ellen White to izrazila.
That this represents our constant dependence upon the atoning blood of Christ.
Da ovo predstavlja našu stalnu zavisnost
and,
od krvi pomirenja.
In her book, Selected Messages, she says it even more vividly.
Čak u svoje svojim izabranim svedočanstvima, ona kaže da je to živopisno bilo.
That all,
još živopisnije opisuje u toj knjizi.
That all incense from earthly tabernacles must be moist from the cleansing drops of the blood of Christ.
Da je sav kad skadljenog oltara morao biti ovlažen krvlju, kapljicama krvi Hristove.
Here is why we must... The other reasons were right also, but this is especially the emphasis I want to give on this point.
Ovde želim da naglasim nešto posebno.
It's always available. It's available for everyone.
Uvek, bez prekida, za svakoga.
But the point is, we all need the blood of Jesus all the time.
Mi svi trebamo, potrebna nam je krv Hristova neprekidno.
Because even if we are not committing direct sins, we are still sinners.
Iako ne činimo konkretne grehe direktno, mi smo grešnici.
And we need the blood of Jesus to cover our sinfulness.
I treba nam krv Hristova da nas pokrije tu grešnost.
Let me ask another question about the sacrificial system.
Da vas pitam još nešto iz žrtvenog sistema.
Did the sacrificial system atone for deliberate sins?
Da li je žrtveni sistem pokrivao i nameran greh?
Or only for unwitting, unconscious sins, unintentional sins?
Ili samo za nenamerne greh? Both, they say.
Okay. We have some in our church who teach that the sacrificial system of the Old Testament was only for the unwitting, on the unconscious.
Imamo neke u crkvi koji uče da je žrtveni sistem bio samo za nesvesne grehe, nenamerne.
Where can we find specific evidence that willful sin is still atoned for by the blood of the sacrifice?
Gde je dokaz da nameran greh može i dalje biti opran krvlju žrtve? 5:17.
Leviticus 5:17. Okay. Why don't someone read that for us?
Da li će neko da pročita to?
Ko zgreši i učini što god što je Gospod zabranio da se čini, ako i nije znao, ipak i krivi nosit će svoje bezakonje. Neka dovede k svešteniku oblast zdrava s cenom kojom preceniš, prestupi očistit će ga sveštenik od greha njegova koje je učinio.
Now, this may not be the best verse to demonstrate this because it talks about sins of ignorance that he doesn't know about.
Da, ovo nije najbolji primer zato što govori o neznanju, grehu neznanju. The beginning of the fifth chapter, he says.
Okay, fifth chapter?
Third verse.
Okay.
Knowing or not knowing.
Yes.
A šest je o žrtvi.
All right, so Leviticus 5, verses 3 and
5.
To me, the clearest is in the next chapter, Leviticus 6.
Najjasnije u šestoj glavi ipak.
Verse 2.
Drugi stih.
Person sins and commits a trespass by lying to his neighbor. Verse 2.
Kaže, ostavili stvar predanu, da, udarivši u bah, to je laganje.
Or verse 3, if he's found something and lies about it and swears falsely.
Zaostavili za stvar predanu ruke ili otevši što ili zanesavši bližnjega svojega.
I don't think you can do that and still be not knowing you're doing this.
Ne vjerujem da ovo možete da uradite, a da ne znate šta radite.
And I think verse 7 is a summary of these kinds of willful sins.
A 7 je suma, sažetak ovih namernih greha.
So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord and shall be given for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses.
I očistit će ga sveštenik pred Gospodnjim, prostit će mu se svaka stvar koju je učinio te skrivio.
So there is forgiveness for these kinds of sins that are trespasses against God.
Postoji oproštaj za tu grupu greha koji su svesni prestupi.
But then let's ask the next question. Are there some sins that are not forgiven through the sacrificial system of the Old Testament?
Ali postoje li gresi koji nisu kroz žrtveni sistem mogli biti oprošteni?
And where do you find those described?
I gde su opisani?
I'm thinking especially of this kind of sin.
Razmišljam o ovom grehu.
What chapter describes the high-handed sin?
Koje poglavlje opisuje greh podignute pesnice ruke? Numbers 16.
Close. 15. Numbers 15. Yes.
Blizu si bio. Četvrta Mojsija 15.
And here we have the description in verse
30. 30. Stih.
But the person who does anything presumptuously.
Ako ko od sile zgreši, kod nas konjih kaže.
What does your version say? How does it
with,
say? It?
With force.
Okay.
Presumptuously znači yes. Prethodno znati nešto. Znači,
the English translation is not a good one.
Nije ni taj engleski dobar, ali ta reč God, kako je. Jevrejski je
Be? with
sa
yad
yad ruka
rama
podin
with a high hand
sa visokom rukom sa doslovno.
That's the literal words behind this.
To je doslovan izao.
Do you have this kind of gesture in Serbian?
Jel imate vi taj?
What does this mean?
Everybody has.
I'm rebelling against you.
Ja sam buntovnik.
I'm lifting up my hand and saying no, I will not do what you tell me to do.
Ne, ne, neću to učiniti što ti kažeš da ću učiniti.
This is the picture here of the rebellious sin.
To je buntovnički greh, pobunjenički.
It's the sin for which the sinner refuses to repent.
To je u stvari greh za koji se odbija pokajati grešnik.
Doesn't matter what the sin is.
Ne mora uopšte da bude
He's
vrsta greha
važna. He's
shaking
his fist at God and he's saying, I don't care what you say, I'm not going to do it.
Ne interesuje šta kažeš, neću to učiniti. Znači, to je
Can that sin be forgiven?
Da li može da se oprosti taj greh?
No.
Ne.
Because the person doesn't want to be forgiven.
Jer osoba ne želi da mu se oprosti.
And God doesn't forgive those who don't ask and wish to be forgiven.
A Bog ne oprašta onima koji ne traže da im se oprosti.
This is what the New Testament it's very similar to what the New Testament calls the sin against the Holy Spirit.
Ovo je slično onom grehu protiv Duha Svetoga, neoprostivom u Novom Zavetu.
Any sin that you don't want God to forgive.
Svaki za koji ne želite da vam Bog oprosti.
And if one persists in that activity, one pretty soon does not ever want God to forgive.
I ako neko istraje u tom stavu, on vrlo brzo prelazi u stanje kada nikad više ne želi da mu se oprosti.
The Old Testament calls that the hardening of your heart.
A Stari Zavet to zove tvrdoćom srca. Tvrdo srce.
Until you finally are incapable of asking God to forgive.
Kad konačno postajete nesposobni da tražite oproštenje. Znači, onesposobljeni.
Well, we could use many illustrations, but I think the point is clear.
Mnoge su ilustracije, ali ovo je dobro.
Numbers 15 describes two basic categories of sin.
Četvrta Mojsijeva 15 u stvari prikazuje dve kategorije greha.
There's this one, the Beyad Rama.
Postoji ovaj, Beyad Rama.
And then there's the Shagag.
A postoji Shagag. Verses.
This is in verses
22
and following.
I
if you sin unintentionally, verse 22.
A kad biste pogrešili.
Shagag.
Shagag.
Now, what is your translation there of the unintentionally?
There is no reference to it. It's just when you commit a sin.
Well, we need to bring your Serbian translation to America here.
Dakle, kaže da smo opet pogodili u srpskoj prevodi bolje. Znači, treba srpski da prenesemo u Ameriku.
Because where I struggle for hours trying to solve these translation problems, yours are okay. So.
Ja sam se borio satima da rešim problem, a kod vas je sve u redu.
Because most of the English translations say if you sin unintentionally or without knowing it here.
Većina prevoda engleski kaže ako grešite nenamerno.
And this is where some Adventists have got the idea that it's only unintentional sins that can be forgiven.
Tako su neki adventisti dobili ideju da samo ti nenamerni mogu biti oprošteni.
But shagag simply means
Ali shagag znači
to wander and stray away from the right path.
Shagag je tumarati, zalutati sa prave staze. To je doslovno značenje.
It is the equivalent of the New Testament hamartia.
To je hamartia u Novom Zavetu.
To miss the mark.
Promašiti cilj.
Your arrow strays and goes wrong.
Strela je zalutala, kao kad promašite cilj.
This can be a sin that you unconsciously or you're not aware that you're wandering away from the path.
Ovo može biti greh kad niste svesni da ste odlutali.
But it also can be one where you are deliberately choosing to go to a wrong path.
Ali može biti i kad namerno izaberete pogrešnu stazu, idete po... Shvatate šta radite. onda kad shvatite, kažete, oprosti mi, Gospode.
Okay, we don't need to solve that problem. It's already solved in your translations.
Ne moramo da rešimo ovaj problem, u vašem prevodu je rešen.
We may go through my list a lot faster than I had feared here.
Možemo brže da idemo kroz listu nego što sam ja mislio.
Well, we get now to the very heart of the matter of the sanctuary service.
Dakle, idemo na srce svetinja. Just a comment.
Yes.
This was the famous idea from your student tradition. Our ex-president here.
Oh, this one here?
Yes.
About what?
Shagag. And
the Shagag?
Yes. The other
Did he argue it was sin? Or?
Yeah, no, he mentioned that. Yeah. Learning at your class.
Okay.
It was his favorite here.
Okay, okay.
Ja kažem da je Radišino omiljeno za propovjed bilo ovo, naučio je kod njega, mu je on bio profesor.
Well, I must say that not everyone agrees with my interpretation here.
Moram da kažem da se ne slažu svi sa tim tumačenjem.
But I'm happy to know I have the Serbian translators on my side. So.
Srpski prevodioci su na njegovoj strani.
Okay. We come to the heart of the matter now, and that is the transfer of sin.
Transfer greha. Dolazimo do srca, dakle.
We'll go about another 7 minutes, and then we'll take a break. Is that all right?
Da radimo još 7 minuta, pa da uzmemo pauzu, ili šta? Yeah. To je otprilike 50 minuta smo radili, da.
And then we'll have one more session.
A onda ćemo imati još jedan sat.
Let's just review again the major hypotheses on this.
Koja je najraširenija hipoteza o ovom transferu greha? Pretpostavka.
How does sin get into the sanctuary?
Kako greh ulazi u svetinju?
How's the sanctuary defiled?
Kako se prlja svetinja doslovno?
Well, there are first the theories that are called automatic defilement.
Postoje teorije o automatskom onečišćenju, bolje nego prljanje.
And there are different kinds of automatic defilement theories.
Postoje automatska, različite teorije o automatskom onečišćenju, dakle, svetinje.
There is, for example, Milgram.
Milgram, da, postoji.
Who argues that sin is like a has an aerial dynamic aerial quality that flies through the air into the sanctuary.
On smatra da greh ima mogućnost da putuje kroz vazduh.
I'll just put here through the air.
I da dođe u svetinju. Znači, jednostavno, doslovno, transfer.
That it's, sin is just attracted to the sanctuary.
Da svetinja jednostavno privlači greh.
He illustrated by how the magnet, you have the
kaže, imate magnet, pozitivni i negativni, i oni se privuku odmah.
And so the holy place sucks up the sin.
Svetinja tako usisava greh kao magnet.
What texts does he give for that?
Koji tekstove daje za to?
No text.
Nema teksta. Nema teksta.
There are no texts for that. There is a Baruch Levine.
Postoji Levine.
Who argues that sin is a magical, demonic.
Da je greh magijski, demonska stvar.
And the demons are somehow magically attracted to the sanctuary when they sin. Sin is like a demonic attraction to the sanctuary.
Dakle, greh je kao demonska privlačnost za svetinju. Demonis.
What text does he give to support that?
Koji on tekst daje?
No text.
Nema teksta.
These are these theories that are
teorije.
Yeah. And others simply say
a drugi kažu
automatic transfer, but they don't explain how.
Drugi kažu automatski transfer, ali ne objašnjavaju kako.
Then there is the what we call this is automatic defilement, this is transfer theory.
Postoji automatsko, dakle, onečišćenje i postoji ovaj transfer, druga grupa.
And this is the one that Adventists have believed.
To veruju Adventisti.
That sin finds its way into the sanctuary as it is transferred through the sacrifice into the sanctuary.
Dakle, jednostavno greh preko žrtve prelazi u svetinju.
What texts are there to support that?
Koji tekstovi to podržavaju?
No text. No, just kidding.
Nema teksta, šalim se.
I believe there are at least 5 different lines of evidence for this.
Postoji čak 5 grupa dokaza za ovo.
Leviticus 16 and verse 21.
Treće Mojsijeva 16:21.
That shows when the priest laid his hands on the head of the scapegoat.
Kaže da je sveštenik stavljao ruke na Azazela, jarca za
Azazela.
Šta onda kaže kad je stavio ruke na glavu ovom jarcu?
Who has Leviticus 16:21 could read for us?
Šta kaže 21. stih?
Okay, so when he lays his hands on, it actually transfers the sins to that sacrifice.
Dakle, kada metne ruke, on u stvari prenosi. Prenosi bezakonja na žrtvu.
Leviticus 10 and verse 17.
Treće Mojsijeva 10:17.
Who will read verse 17 for us?
Ko će ovaj stih da pročita? Može.
Zašto ne jedoste žrtve za grijeh na svetom mestu? Svetinja je na svetinjama i dade vam je Gospod da nosite grijeh i sveta zbora, da bi se očistili od grijeha pred Gospodom.
Okay, we'll come back to this again after the break.
Posle pauze ćemo se vratiti na ovo.
But sometimes the priest would eat the sacrifice instead of the blood going in, the priest would take the sacrifice
into
his body. Umesto
krvi, prenos transfer preko krvi, nekada je svešnik jeo žrtvu, pa onda on bio prenosilac greha.
Specifically it indicates here that when he eats, it transfers and he bears the sin upon himself.
Kaže kad jede, on postaje nosilac greha onda. Kad jede tu žrtvu.
And then let's just look at one more, Leviticus chapter 4. Let's look at one more, Leviticus 16, verse 16.
Još jedan je u 16:16, treće Mojsijeva 16:16.
At the Day of Atonement.
Dan pomirenja.
We find that the sins of all the year are where?
Gresi cele godine su bili gde?
They're in the sanctuary, right?
In the sanctuary. Yeah.
And so, how can you say, as Milgram does, that as soon as the sin is committed, it goes into the sanctuary?
Kako onda možete reći kao Milgram da čim zgrešite ide u svetinju?
Automatically.
Automatski.
And then when you offer the sacrifice,
a kad žrtvu prinosite,
the sin is cleansed.
Očišćen je greh.
If at the end of the year we find that all the sins that have been committed during the year are there still in the sanctuary.
Jer svi gresi koji su tokom godine počinili su tamo u svetinji.
So this text indicates to us that the sins of the people even though they had the daily sacrifice.
Dakle, gresi ljudi iako imaju dnevnu žrtvu.
This did not cleanse the sin out of the sanctuary.
Nije se čistio greh iz svetinje.
Instead, it transferred it in because it was there at the end of the year.
Jer umesto toga on ide u svetinju jer je tamo na kraju godine je greh tamo.
There's one more text and that's Leviticus 4. That's the main one.
Glavni je tekst u 3. Mojsijevoj 4.
But that will take more than 2 minutes to discuss and so let's take our break first.
Uzimamo pauzu pa ćemo onda posle treba vremena za ovo.